Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And remember, the resources we talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The number to dial to get your questions answered on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, as Randy just mentioned, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to start the broadcast today with an article I read in the Wall Street Journal titled, Marijuana is More Dangerous Than You Think. As legalization spreads, more Americans are becoming heavy users of cannabis. And this is despite its links to violence and mental illness. A new book out by the author of this Wall Street article, Alex Berenson, the book titled, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. Well, over the past 30 years, a shrewd and very expensive lobbying campaign has made Americans more tolerant of marijuana. In fact, John Boehner, now former Speaker of the House, is touting marijuana as the pathway to becoming a millionaire. But more than 200 million Americans are now living in states where they have legalized marijuana for both medical or recreational use. And yet, even as marijuana has become more socially acceptable, psychiatrists and epidemiologists have reached a consensus that it presents more serious risks than people often realize. The number of Americans who use cannabis heavily is nonetheless soaring. In 2006, about 3 million Americans reported using the drug at least 300 times a year. By 2017, just a couple of years ago, that number had increased to 8 million. And they are consuming cannabis that is far more potent than ever before. If you think back to the 1970s, most marijuana contained less than 2% THC. Many users today are using marijuana that contains 20 to 25% to the active hallucinogenic. And many users prefer extracts that are nearly pure THC. And that despite the fact that it's now very, very clear, the evidence is in, that marijuana can cause psychosis, a high risk factor for violence. Cannabis fuels violence in psychotic people through its tendency to cause paranoia. Some advocates are claiming that legalization will reduce violent crime. I think of Senator Cory Booker, a Democrat from New Jersey. He's one of them. This is despite the fact that all of the statistics are against what Cory Booker is touting. For centuries, people all over the world have understood clearly that cannabis causes mental illness and violence, just as they have known that opioids cause addiction and overdose. Hard data on the relationship between marijuana and madness dates back 150 years. And so this is nothing new, but people are ignoring the evidence. Mental illness and violence that follow cannabis ought to be far too widespread to ignore. Again, the article worth reading in the Wall Street Journal. The book is coming out. It will be out, tomorrow. So it's coming out quickly. You know, I actually did an acronym on marijuana. It's titled, Is America Going to Pot? I use P-O-T as the acronym. And as I've mentioned before in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because of its inherent dangers, I think it's time for us to not only know, but be able to remember and communicate to others the dangers of the reefer culture, in addition to the links which it has to serious mental illness and violence. There are other psychological problems, memory impairment, hallucinations, sleep deprivation, and the list goes on. Physical maladies range from respiratory illness, cardiovascular disease, to detectable alterations in the chemistry of the brain. Think about that for the kids, young kids, that are part of the reefer set. Just as there are psychophysical dangers, there are occult dangers as well. In China, shamans employ cannabis to connect with ancestors in the spirit world. Sufi Muslims use cannabis as a contrivance for various spiritual explorations. And in the West, Rastafarians use weed to indulge in various religious rituals. And while achieving higher states of consciousness or discovering secret truths or becoming one with the cosmic consciousness of the universe might sound glamorous, the skeletal remains of such perilous spiritual diversions continue to multiply worldwide. To put it plainly, when people are smoking or eating pot, there is simply no objective way for them to control dosages of tetrahydrocannabinol, the psychoactive chemical in marijuana. A dosage of as little as 7 milligrams of THC can be an unwelcome gateway to spiritual and psychophysical maladies. And while it is true that the Bible does not specifically deal with smoking pot, its prohibitions against intoxication apply. We're called to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity, and to fail to do that is to sin against the very one who created us or knit us together in our mother's wombs. I want, in context of this, to talk about another addiction as the quote of the day. And this is an addiction that has changed the average attention span from 12 to 8 seconds in the last few years. Columnist Andrew Sullivan confessed that he had become a manic information addict who suffered from distraction sickness. So there are a lot of ways in which we can misuse the body. The illness, Sullivan realized, wasn't unique to him. It was epidemic. And he says this, and I'll use this for the quote of the day, Facebook soon gave everyone the equivalent of their own blog and their own audience. More and more people got a smartphone, connecting them instantly to a deluge of febrile content, forcing them to cull and absorb and assimilate the online torrent as relentlessly as I had once. Twitter emerged as a form of instant blogging of micro-thoughts. Users were as addicted to the feedback as I had long been, and even more prolific. Then the apps descended like the rain to inundate what was left of our free time. Now, this is a quote that is part of the book that we are offering as our resource of the month. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's written by Jay Richards. It's titled The Human Advantage. One of the things that Richards does point out in balance is that gluttony does not prove that food is bad, and a Facebook fetish doesn't prove that the internet is evil. So the point here is, if you use social media platforms, you want to use them in a proper or responsible fashion. They open up education, so there is a positive benefit. This is education for everyone, no matter where you live. They give you new skills. They help you work with people that you might never have met in person. They make research so much faster and more fruitful. As I found in writing my books, the internet can be a tremendous benefit. But again, it can be an addiction if it is not properly used, an addiction that leads in a very, very bad direction. Again, the resource of the month, The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines by Jay Richards. You might wonder how this actually associates with the Christian worldview. Read the book and you will find out. Again, available on the web. You can order it in a safe, secure fashion. You can support the ministry on the web at equip.org. And when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When we come back from the break, we'll go to your phone calls. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Are you worried about artificial intelligence? You're not alone. Pop culture pummels us with images of intelligent machines overtaking humans. Transhumanists believe that humans are merely machines and that artificial intelligence is the next step in our evolution. In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards dispels these dystopian tales and explains why we should be far more hopeful than fearful about our future on account of what he calls the human advantage. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Nikki, listening in Dry Run, Ohio, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Nikki.
Hi there, Hank. Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure.
Got a question for you. With the Lord's Supper, the communion, I'm a little disturbed about what some churches are doing. They're at the time when they're administering it, the pastor's telling them before they eat it, they read the scripture, and then before they eat it, he's telling them to crush that bread between their fingers, of course, symbolizing Jesus's broken body. But I feel that's a grave mistake, because in all the scriptures, it says Jesus broke the bread and he gave to them and said, take, eat. And to me, it's almost like symbolically a crucifixion of Jesus. I know their intent is well by doing it, but it's also a distraction from Christ and what he did at the cross. You know, it's symbolically, it's like we're actually re-crucifying Christ. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that, if I could.
Yeah, well, I think the idea of a re-crucifixion of Christ is misguided at best. And this is a subject that I'd like to spend a lot of time on, and certainly will in the future when my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, comes out. I think the one thing that we want to understand is a proper perspective with respect to the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in communion, in the Lord's table, whatever moniker you want to use. But this is one of the most important things that we could possibly focus on. In fact, it might well be said that the church itself is a Eucharistic assembly where we are absolutely transformed by partaking of the real presence of Christ. And this is not a late opinion. This is the only opinion that the church had through the time of Luther himself. It was only after Luther that people lost touch with the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. If you look at some of the early church fathers like Cyril of Jerusalem, he was clearly communicating that we become Christ bearers since his body and blood are distributed throughout our limbs. And in this way, as Peter put it, we become partakers of the divine nature. The history of the church was always the Eucharist being the chief instrument for Christian deification. In fact, this is such a macro issue and deserves a tremendous amount of time and attention, because you can look at the Christian belief structure in terms of a lesser ark and a greater ark. Now, the lesser ark is not wrong. In fact, it is crucial, but it is dwarfed by a greater ark. The lesser ark is the notion that ranges from the fall of Adam to redemption through the second Adam, Jesus Christ. But that is subsumed under a larger ark, which ranges from creation itself to deification, meaning that we have been created for union with God, and the chief instrument for effecting union with God, fellowship in the Trinity, is the right partaking of the Eucharist, recognizing that this is truly the real presence of Christ. And I would say that when I say that this is the historical perspective for 1,000 years of church history, when the body of Christ was as yet undivided at the table, believers humbly took the Lord at his word when he said, "This is my body. This is my blood." Now, how this could be so, no one could tell. The church was simply confessing the real presence of Jesus Christ as a great and glorious mystery. And then, of course, came that great schism in 1054 that separated the Eastern and the Western Church. But even after that schism, the Eucharist was unanimously believed to be the real presence of Christ. And as I alluded to earlier in my comments, this was the conviction of Martin Luther himself. So if you think about church history, you have an undivided church, by and large, for the first 1,000 years. Then 500 years later, you have a split between Rome and the Reformers. But even at the time of that split, you have Martin Luther in 1529 making a case for the real presence of Jesus Christ, 12 years after the Reformation. But at that time, the whole view of real presence in its entirety, in its context, in its biblical paradigm had begun to wane. And people thought, well, if you really think about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, then you're guilty of bread worship. That's what Zwingli said. So this is a very important topic, and I think that there are many, many abuses of the Eucharist. There's a whole lot of misinformation on the Eucharist, and as I said, in the future, I want to spend more time on this, because when I talk about life and truth, truth matters, life matters more, one of the things I'm driving at is talking about the life which is part and parcel of understanding fellowship in the Trinity, and the Eucharist is a major means towards that end.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be confrontational, but in John 6, Jesus, right after he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, those ones departed from him because it didn't set well with them. And Jesus said, "These words that I speak unto you, they are spiritual." And you know, the communion itself, we partake of Jesus Christ spiritually. We eat his flesh and drink his blood spiritually through faith in what he did at the cross. And that's my position on that. And I didn't realize that you were Catholic or that you believed in transubstantiation.
Well, I'm not Catholic, and I think that it's important to realize that transubstantiation is part of the Western explanation for the real presence of Jesus Christ, but that was not the way in which the Church has always sought to explain the real presence of Christ. In fact, for most of Church history, people didn't try to explain the real presence of Christ. They considered this a great mystery. This is the mystical supper. And therefore, it's beyond our ken to be able to explain. And so we, with respect to the real presence of Christ, live in the land of antinomy. So there's a tension there that we cannot fully explain. And it's kind of interesting. If you look at Luther, when he was challenged by Zwingli with respect to the real presence of Christ, Zwingli said, "How in the world can Christ really be present in the elements?" Luther didn't say transubstantiation, although obviously he was reforming from out of Roman Catholicism. He was a Roman Catholic monk, but he said, he didn't say transubstantiation. He said to Zwingli, "Look, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can really be present in the elements." And that's why I say this is an antinomy. It is not something that we can explain any more than we can explain.
I think the way Jesus explained it, that it's spiritual. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was glorified. He wasn't even held by any physical parameters at any time. And he went and ascended and sat on the right-hand side of the Father. And the notion that you are eating his flesh, millions of people every day, we know that that's not to be that's not very spiritual. That's insanity, sir. That's insanity.
Well, appreciate your perspective. And I think that this is a very, very significant issue. The large arc of the biblical worldview extends from creation to deification. We were created to ascend the mountain to the Shekinah glory of God, to partake in the divine nature. And this is not solely a Catholic idea or a Roman Catholic idea. This was the notion of the church from its inception. Much more could be said. Again, this is a topic that needs to be delved into and dealt with, not in a cursory fashion, but in a substantive fashion. I'm doing that in a new book titled Truth Matters, Life Matters More. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time? Your question's answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.